Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast from the International Motorsports Association and Radio Show Limited.
It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
So, under the cover of darkness here at Daytona International Speedway, Kamui Kobayashi leads for Ally Cadillac in the number 48 by 1.6 seconds from the now charging Alex Lynn in the 0-2 Cadillac, with Pippo Durrani in hot pursuit as well. But Alex Lynn, a slightly steadier start to the stint, but really coming good as the tyres come up to temperature and pressure. A very mature drive and showing Alex's absolutely world-class credentials. Now, the driver change for the former leader in LMP2. James Allen brought the number 69G drive racing machine into pit lane, and Luca Giotto, the 26-year-old Italian, multiple race winner in F2, GP2 and GP3 at the wheel of that machine now. So expect some very red-hot lap times. But the leader in LMP2 at the moment is Luca Giotto in the number 8. Is Rui Pinto de Andrade in that machine, the Angolan Portuguese. He leads by, at the moment, just as the timing screen flicks around, he is leading at the moment in the Tower Motorsports number 8 machine. In LMP3, it's Michael Cooper in that number 74 Ranch Resort LMP3 after taking over that machine from Gar Robinson. In GTD Pro, the Ferrari, the 62 Risi Competizione Ferrari, has reclaimed the lead after that round of pit stops, and it's come back out to almost exactly the same gap, back to Lawrence Vantor in the KCMG Porsche, the team from Hong Kong. About 5 seconds the gap at the moment. Your leader in GTD, the Mercedes of Lucas Auer, the number 57, of course, the Windward Mercedes number 57 winner of this great race in the GTD category last year. Can they make it two in a row? That would be very cool indeed. But coming back to Giuseppe Risi, Jeremy, of course, owner of Risi Competizione, I remember speaking to Jimmy Bruni, who of course now is a Porsche factory driver, but formerly Ferrari factory driver, and he said Giuseppe was just a proper enthusiast when they went to race at when he raced for Giuseppe at Le Mans. He says Giuseppe never left the pit post. He watched the race from start to finish and had a big smile on his face the whole time. That's a true racer.
Yeah, that's Giuseppe Risi. I've known him for many years, since the Aurora Formula One Championship in the UK, which was quite a few years ago. Great character, huge enthusiast, just loves his sport, and it's been kind of painful for him in some ways not to be regularly involved here over the last few years. But great to see that car back again here, and hopefully we've had no confirmation, but we certainly hope to see that car back on a regular basis. You talked about Alex Lynn getting really in the groove again. He's narrowed that back gap to Kobayashi to nothing now, 0.2 seconds as they cross the line. In fact, has he taken the lead? In fact, where are those two cars on the race lap? Just saw as they went through the second sector, I think he might have got himself ahead. I think those are the leaders coming around the turn four banking right now. So we'll wait and see before they get into the tri-oval and see whether we have another new race leader.
This is the fascinating thing about endurance racing, particularly a 24-hour race, when you're going through such an evolving, dynamic state of not only the track, but also the temperature. And you're absolutely spot on, Jeremy. Yeah. Alex Lynn takes the lead here at Daytona in the 0-2 Cadillac. The Cadillac accessories machine. Wow. So after it looked like Kobayashi was going off into the distance, and Alex Lynn says, no, back you come. And wow, what an incredible drive from Alex Lynn. Of course, he'll be doing the whole season here in the IMSA WeatherTech Championship. So if Alex Lynn is a new name to you here in the United States, get used to it, because he is showing just exactly why he's been hired as part of that program. He'll be sharing with Earl Bamber, and we know how good he is in a prototype racing car. Of course, winner of Le Mans on two occasions outright in the Porsche 919. Looking at the GTD Pro, of course, is a new a new initiative this year. Of course, the old GTLM category, a thing of the past. What a great era it was. We had it here from all the way through, from the beginning of the new era of IMSA in 2014 to the end of last season. But GTD Pro, using the GTD base of car and then filling it with the best drivers available. And we've got a Ferrari, from two Porsches, from Corvette, from Mercedes, from BMW. That, in my mind, is a win at this early stage.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised, Jeremy. Not many takers in the wonderful illuminated Ferris wheel. It's actually sitting perfectly still at the moment. Nobody turning up for a ride on there. I'm not surprised with the cool temperatures we're seeing.
Yeah, that'd be pretty hardy, wouldn't it? But great to see the fans here this weekend. And just got a note from Lella Soper. British race fans or BMW fans from over the years might be familiar with that name, Soper, Steve Soper. Well, this is his daughter, Lella, who's visiting Daytona International Speedway for the first time. Great to hear from you, Lella. She is loving the night time here. First time she's seen IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship race, and having a great time. So welcome to Daytona International Speedway. Glad you've enjoyed the experience, and stick around for the end of the race, because a lot of racing still to come.
That there is, yeah. Brilliant to hear. And of course, Soper and BMW are two names that are kind of one and the same, aren't they?
Yeah.
The man's an animal. Yeah. You have to say that when you're Scottish, when you're talking about Steve Soper and a BMW. So Alex Lynn leads the way then in the 02 Cadillac accessories machine. So at the moment it's a Cadillac 1-2-3, first of the Acuras, 8 seconds back from the lead. That's Simon Pagenaud at the wheel of the Meyer Shank Racing machine.
Yeah,
of course, it's 10
right
years
there, no problem at all.
Yes, correct, right in the game. And of course it's 10 years, Jeremy, since Mike Shank's outfit won this race in the 50th anniversary,
yeah,
of the Rolex,
right.
24.
Yeah, hard to believe it's 10 years ago. But yeah, that was the scene that really put this Meyer Shank race. There was a replay of the, was that the change of the lead? Or was
it live picture?
It was a live picture, okay, just diving past another car going into turn one. But there's still, you know, there's only less than 10 seconds covering the top five cars on this racetrack. And Alex Palou, he's turning, you know, similar lap times to the other leaders as well, back in that sixth position.
Yeah, Alex Palou driving the 01 Cadillac Performance Academy machine. Of course, the winner of the 2021 IndyCar Championship. And I noticed when I was doing my research on his Instagram page, he says just simply, "I love Kiwis." Now, I don't know if he's referring to people from New Zealand or the fruit, but if it's people from New Zealand, he's in a team with Scott Dixon, who's of course a Kiwi himself, so he's in the right place. But Alex, born in Barcelona, wonderful city, great place to go. Could recommend a MotoGP weekender in Barcelona. That's well worth a weekend away. Ryan Hardwick is back at the wheel of the number 16 Wright Motorsport Porsche. Ryan, an entrepreneur in his early 20s, started up a Honda motorcycle dealership, and it has evolved into a chain of power sports dealers called Mountain Motorsports. And Ryan, actually a three-time national jet ski champion, started off racing dirt bikes, then did jet skis, and then it now ended up racing cars. So he likes anything with a motor, anything fast. And so what a really, really nice person, very polite. And him and Jan Halen are going to be together for the whole IMSA WeatherTech Championship at the wheel of that Wright Porsche, which of course, Jeremy, last time, although they didn't win any of the big Enduros, they won the Michelin Endurance Cup, funnily enough.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, yeah, there's honours are nicely shared on a regular basis. This battle is still going on, though, isn't it, between Alex Lynn and Kumi Kobayashi. They were virtually side by side on the start-finish lane the last time around. They're separated by just a few car lengths as they're heading around the bank. He actually got a bit of a break, did Alex Lynn, I think, on that lap. But there's... No, he didn't. Yes, he did.
Could be.
Three wide it was there, with a couple of GTD cars in the middle and an LMP2 car on the outside. Kamui Kobayashi takes no prisoners going into the Le Mans chicane.
Kamui Kobayashi is decisive in traffic. Yes. You could say that, but wonderful. This is what DPI is all about. Shea, who's come to see you in pit lane?
I've got the number 11, the formerly Wynn Autosport, now PR1 Matheson Motorsport LMP2 machine. We've got Josh Pearson getting out, Harry Tinknell getting back behind the wheel of this machine. But the DPIs have arrived, the 0-2 board drop down for Cadillac Racing. Alex Lynn staying behind the wheel of this one. Also coming in was the 60 Meyer-Shank Racing Acura. This is a driver change. It is Tom Blomqvist getting back behind the wheel there. That is fuel and tires. Yes, and tires. Pit stop going fairly smoothly for the Cadillac Racing 0-2. Waiting for it to drop off the air jack. Now, there we go, waiting for the fuel probe to come out. We've got movement further back. The Ally Racing Cadillac is already moving and going to beat Alex Lynn off because he hardly fired properly. Is he going to make it out in a second? No, he's going to get passed by the Meyer-Shank Racing Acura 2.
Oh, Alex Lynn just, I don't think it was a stall, but just couldn't quite get that big 0-2 Cadillac fired up. And that's given the lead back effectively to the 48 machine, the Ally Cadillac of Kamui Kobayashi, and also the Acura of Simon Pagenaud getting by Alex Lynn as well. So Alex has got the job to do, and of course when we saw in the last stint, Alex did take a few laps to get himself up to pace compared to Kamui, but didn't it came all the way back round again in the start, and straight away, straight out of the pit lane, Alex Layton gasses it up and just blasts straight past Simon Pagenaud like he's standing still. Now that's something we do not see. I think, Jeremy, I think you are spot on with this theory. Those Acuras are really struggling on cold tyres.
Yeah, that's been a problem for them, and it's even worse in cooler conditions when it's harder to build temperature into those tyres.
I think it could be a long night for those Acuras. Speaking of Acuras, we have another one, the number 10 Wayne Taylor Racing Acura in for service. Shea?
That's fuel tyres and possibly a driver change. I saw the door open at the very last moment as another pit stop going on for Cadillac. This is Mustang sampling driver change. Going to roll out Christian Vautier in. Nope, that's still Ricky Taylor in the 10 Konica Minolta Acura, so it was fuel and tyres only. But I thought I saw Tom Blomqvist getting into the Acura while they were changing the tyres.
You did.
Was I mistaken?
No, you're not mistaken. Shea, you're never mistaken.
No, I am.
That's one thing I've come to learn. Tom Blomqvist, you are absolutely correct, and you told me that, and I was listening too as well. I've just not got a very good short-term memory. Tom Blomqvist, of course, son of Stig Blomqvist, the 1984 World Rally Champion at the wheel of an Audi Quattro. So Tom out and about in his, would you believe, his first Rolex 24. He was a factory BMW driver in that M8, but never actually took part in the Rolex 24. Jeremy?
Should have done. In 2019, he was scheduled to drive here, but unfortunately he couldn't get his visa organised, so had to pass that opportunity. That was the car that went on to win the race. So that was somewhat disappointing. So finally, he gets his chance to come here. He's managed by Mark Blundell these days, is Tom. And Tom was given an opportunity to come over here last fall in October to test with Meyer-Shank Racing at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta. Was massively impressive. A couple of weeks later, he got the call to come and race here. So he said, great, yes, please. So he wasn't really expecting to come and race here on a regular basis this season, but he's very excited to be doing so, and is giving a really good account of himself here during this race.
That he is, and I think the one thing about the Meyer-Shank Racing outfit is that you don't get too many kind of one and done performances with that outfit. If you go to that team and you do a good job, you know, they will ask you back, yeah. which is always good. Mike Shank, who of course leads the operation, had a dream year last year to win the Indianapolis 500, for Elio Castroneves to claim his fourth Indy 500 title. and to win the Rolex 24 in the same year, albeit for a different team, but still at Elio, to do that double is mighty impressive. Now that the temperatures are coming up, Tom Blomqvist is going absolutely side by side here down into turn one around the outside of the Ally Cadillac. So Kamui Kobayashi unable to hold off the charging Tom Blomqvist there into turn one. So although it's a little bit tricky in those early laps for the Acuras with the colder tires, once they're up to temperature, they're off. So Tom Blomqvist just right behind Ricky Taylor in the blue and black Konica Minolta Acura for Wayne Taylor Racing. Of course, races in his father's team, but it races under a factory contract for Honda Performance Development, part of Acura here in the United States. And Ricky, one of the best drivers in a prototype racing car in the world. And I have to say, after that pit stop there, full marks for a nice big sideways smoky burnout as well. And speaking to some of the engineers yesterday, Jeremy, they were saying that although it looks very spectacular, it is important, especially in those cold temperatures, to get as much friction as you possibly can leaving the pit box.
Yeah, absolutely right. And you've got to... any way you can to get heat into these tires is what you've got to do, and it's not easy. Generally speaking, though, by the end of the first lap, the tires are working pretty well. You can push pretty hard on lap two. That's certainly what we're seeing from these guys. The first sort of flying lap there for Alex Lynn in car number 02 was a 35.6. That's only two laps into his stint. The previous one was a 37. So, he's right back on the pace now. The fastest lap of the race, a 34.0. Full tank of fuel aboard that car, down in the mid-35s already.
Very impressive indeed. And the lead has been reclaimed by the 69G drive Orica in LMP2. Luca Giotto at the wheel of that number 69 machine. Very striking orange and black car. One outfit that are still hanging in there at the moment, ninth in P2, James McGuire for United Autosport. Had a difficult start to the race, had a couple of spins and things like that, but I think as long as you're within touching distance, you never know. But there's some pretty big names in the P2 class behind the wheel at the moment. Harry Ticknell in at the number 11 machine. And also Colton Herta as well for the 81 Dragon Speed car.
Yeah, that's a car that had fallen a couple of laps off the pace in LMP2. I think it's still two laps down. Oops. Oh dear. That's the second place car in LMP3. The core Autosport car number 54. He seemed to have briefly lost power. Maybe he's fired it up again now that... Yeah. He's finally got it started again. Where is he?
That's John Bennett, the team owner of Core Autosport, the number 54, co-driving with his long-standing co-driver, Colin Brown. There's a little bit of damage to the rear of the car, the splitter
yellow,
hanging off and dragging along, particularly on the rear right.
Yeah.
So Shea Adam may have someone else to come and see
her. Full course yellow.
Full course yellow. So there may be more to that story than it meets the eye. So full course yellow here at the Rolex 24 Hour at Daytona. 15 hours and 41 minutes to go, and we are under full course yellow. So this is interesting to see what kind of strategical plays will come out here in each class. So Alex Lynn is your leader at the moment in DPI for the 02 Cadillac squad. The 69G drive LMP2 of Luca Giotto leads there. P3 is the 74 Ranch Resort Ligier of Michael Cooper. In GTD Pro, it's Daniel Serra for Risi Competizione, number 62 Ferrari. And in GTD, it's the Windward Mercedes of Lucas Auer. That's how they go into this yellow flag, full course yellow period. But how will they emerge? We shall see. And any teams that maybe have got a couple of little things to repair or to rectify on the cars, this is a good opportunity to do it while the field is neutralised. Now, we know that the only thing is, Jeremy, what we did see of the 54 of John Bennett, it didn't look like him on his own would be enough to call a full course yellow. So there has to be something else as part of that, you would imagine. But just as we have our full course yellow, it's almost as if it's been brought in on purpose. It hasn't, of course. It's part of the race control. But we've got a beautiful fireworks display here at the Rolex 24 at Daytona. 60 years of this wonderful race. And I tell you what, looking at the Grand Marshals, some of the names in our list of six Grand Marshals, Jeremy, it was talk about an honour roll of legends of motorsport.
It is pretty cool, isn't it? Yeah, the six Grand Marshals for this event, they're all extremely accomplished. Mario Andretti, Hurley Hayward, Scott Pruett, Jack Roush, Bobby Rahal and Wayne Taylor. What a group that is.
And they've all done their own, they've all got their own specific part of the sport that they've excelled in as well. That's what I like about that group, is it's a real variety of disciplines as well.
True.
Well, a Florida sunset and a Florida sunrise is pretty spectacular, but so is this wonderful display of fireworks. So if you're watching around the circuit in the camping areas, enjoying a few beverages, enjoy this wonderful firework display. Now, it will be fireworks in a moment when the pit lane opens, and Shea Adam will be very busy with the microphone keeping an eye on things. But Shea, the number 99 hardpoint car is coming in. Is this?
Yep, it is. Yep. And actually, the crew had to tell me to get out of the way because I was having a nice chat with Catherine Lake. This is emergency service for refueling only. 5 seconds. Now that's gone. This car will come back to visit me when the pit lane opens for real.
Now, do I see with my slightly degrading eyes a driver preparing to get into that car, Shea?
That would be a very, very much helmeted and eager Catherine Legge. You are correct, Peter.
She's had to wait very patiently. We're over 8 hours into this race, and she's had to sit and twiddle her thumbs waiting to get into that car. So Catherine, of course, the most experienced driver in that lineup. So I'm sure she'll be itching to get behind the wheel of that beautiful white, red and black Grid Rival Team Hardpoint machine. Of course, Team Hardpoint, who run, they've got a car here in the IMSA WeatherTech Championship, also the Porsche Carrera Cup North America as well, which will kick off at Sebring. And Jeremy, you have the privilege of calling the action in that series. And I have to say, I really enjoyed the racing last season with those new 992 machines.
Yeah, it was fantastic series of competition there last season. And this year is going to be arguably even better. There's going to be more of the new 992 cars in action, as many as 30 cars on the grid for that championship. We've got both of the top two contenders from that Porsche Carrera North America last year here in the race today. Seb Prio, who has spent some time in the lead of the class, currently running in third position in LMP3 at the moment in car number 33, and his main rival and teammate last year, Kai van Berlo, also is in an LMP3 car this weekend with a good shot of doing well. And it was Efren Castri who won the Pro-Am class. He also is racing in LMP3, making his debut. All those three making their debut in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship and the Rolex 24 at Daytona.
And of course, Efren was in a hardpoint, Team Hardpoint machine as well, coached by double Super Cup champion Larry Ten Vorder, who arguably the fastest driver in the world in that specific type of car at the moment. So now the BMW Sao Paulo Yellow BMW M4 has brought the pack under control. Alex Lynn at the front of the queue in the 02 Cadillac. So pits will soon be open, ready for service. And now Shea, the number 3 Corvette has just come in. Is that also emergency service? I think Shea Adam will be, no doubt, will be finding out what's going on there as well. So the number 3 Corvette, the yellow machine, comes in to take just a quick splash of fuel. I would imagine that's emergency service as well. There's a red light at the end of pit lane. There goes the green light. So the number 3 who's driving that at the moment, that's Antonio Garcia, the King of Spain, as people often refer to him. One of the most quiet, understated, reserved guys, but once he gets behind the wheel, he turns into an absolute demon, and his record is just out of this world. Three-time winner of this race, actually won the final race outright for Brumos Porsche back in 2009, and that winning car is presented in the paddock. So if you're walking around and you're just taking a little break from the action, maybe now's a good time to go and have a look while we're under full course yellow, just around the displays, just on the run-up towards the International Horseshoe. There's a load of manufacturers' displays, and there is the winning 2009 Brumos Porsche Daytona prototype that Antonio brought to victory in that race, so go and check it out. But three wins for Antonio, and who knows, maybe a fourth later on in that yellow Corvette. Of course, reigning champion in this series. And best of all, I love this, Antonio's got great taste in cars. He's got a Mitsubishi Evo 6 Tommy Mäkinen edition as well. So very important to get the Tommy Mäkinen edition in there, because that is a particularly special Mitsubishi Evo 6. So a few cars taking their wave by as the safety crews go into action. Now, Jeremy, I can't quite tell what it is that they are going to. We did see the number 54 car going very slowly, but I still haven't yet to identify what car was involved. Yeah. Or if there is another car involved, but given that the safety crews are on the way, I would assume so.
Yeah, I'm not sure, to be perfect. I'm just trying to look up the race control channel here to see if I can find out what. It just says that your number 54 car stopped on course, and then the call for the safety car to go out on the racetrack. So yeah, not quite sure what it is, but it wouldn't surprise me certainly if it would be. There's quite a lot of debris out on the track at the moment as well, with the various incidents that have taken place. And I fancy they might take this opportunity to give the track a bit of a clean. This sixth full course caution of the day went, oh shoot, when was it? About 5 minutes ago, probably, wasn't it? What was it called? We'd been back under green again for a
quite a reasonable run.
Yeah, just over an hour it was.
An
hour and 12 minutes since the previous caution.
Yeah, they often saying it. It's one of these well-worn phrases by commentators like ourselves that yellow flags breed yellow flags, or safety cars breed safety cars. But it is true when the field is bunched up, especially a field as tightly competitive as this, and with so many cars. We have had a few retirements. We've had three, but we started with 61 cars, so the field is still very busy indeed. And as we come now into the nighttime hours, the temperature will continue to drop. The temperature will begin to drop in the track surface, and getting those Michelin tires up to temperature and pressure is going to get harder. Shay, what have you got?
Core Autosport just went roaring through the tri-oval, so not into the pit lane. They did not come in when the pits are closed, but they are back with the safety car train.
Excellent stuff. Well spotted, Shay. So that's good. Of course, Core Autosport, where the, well, of course, many fans of IMSA will remember the Porsche factory team that raced from 2014 all the way through to 2019 in the GTLM. All the way through to 2020, my apologies, in the GTLM category. And that program was run by Core Autosport. Of course, John Bennett, the owner of the team, a very accomplished driver in his own right, particularly in the old IMSA Prototype Challenge class, when we had open-top prototypes. Of course, that's rightly a thing of the past now in terms of in safety grounds. But that was, I loved that Prototype Challenge class, Jeremy, when it was around. I thought it was fantastic.
It was great. Yeah, it did provide some good racing. And yeah, even with that stoppage there, that number 54 car has been able to continue in second place. Seb Prio is now back on the lead lap in LMP3 as well. So we've got number 74 car leads that class, number 54 and the number 33 all on the lead lap. The number 13 car for AWA, and I think we've talked about them for a long, long time. That car is currently three laps behind the other trio, with the number 26 car, it seems to be, it had all sorts of dramas during this day, is on the same lap as the number 13. So that's not out of the running by any means either. That's one of the Mueller Motorsports America cars, car number 26.
Thanks to you all for your wonderful tweets coming in to let us know, and at Specutainment, at RSL Studio, and at IMSA Radio. Now, Shay Adam, take a deep breath, because you've got some friends coming to see you.
A lot of friends. I love when this happens. Alrighty, we've got the entirety of the DPI field coming in. The 0-2 for Cadillac Racing is in the pit lane, and that is Alex Lynn staying aboard fuel only. The best of the DPI cars should be the 5 Mustang sampling Cadillac, because they were the most recent in. Is the 60 Tom Lundqvist. Second car to move was the JDC, but the first car to beat them both out was the 0-2. Nearly contact between the 0-1 Cadillac and the 48 Ally Racing Cadillac. Last car to leave its box, though. Interestingly enough, the first box on the pit lane, that Ally Cadillac.
Thank you, Shay. So the DPIs all now waiting at the end of pit lane. That light is red. You do not want to go through that red light, because, well, where I come from in the United Kingdom, that's if you get caught, it's 3 points and a juicy fine. Here, it's a 60-second stop and hold penalty, so you really don't want to do that. So at the moment, Alex Lynn waiting patiently at the end, and green light. So off the DPIs go, and back into the safety car train. Pit stop as well for the Era Motorsport number 18. Oh, well spotted. Well spotted, Shay. So the 31 Whelen Engineering Cadillac is doing a brake change. Well spotted by our pit lane reporter, Shay Adam. So that was Pippo Durrani who brought that car into pit lane. And this is interesting. Brake change just under a third of the way into the race, Jeremy. Is that reason for concern?
No, it's not. It's marginal as to whether they need to change the brakes. If they've got a full course caution, they can do it without losing a lap around. It takes a couple of minutes. The safety car speed is around about three and a half minutes, or a bit more than that. So there's plenty of time to get a brake change done. I was talking to various teams before the start of the race, and they thought, yeah, anything after, well, any time during the race, really, should be fine. And we're now, how long into the race? We're 9 hours and 8 hours and 30 minutes into the race. So we're a third of the way through it, and I think that's a good move to get that change. They should be able to good to go from here to the end, I think.
Wow, that's incredible. That is absolutely extraordinary. The number 31 Whelen Engineering crew, give yourself a big pat on the back, chaps. And ladies, because that was
so with all these leaders coming
changing
in,
a set of brake rotors. Sorry, Jeremy.
It's my fault. with all the other leaders coming in there, the number 10 car did not come in, but all the other ones did. And that is going to give the number 10 car an opportunity to get back on the lead lap with everybody else, because when the other cars pitted, the number 10 car went past. And then before we get ready for the restart, those cars trapped between the safety car and the class leader, or in this case the race leader, will be able to cycle on around and take up positions at the back of the pack.
So yeah, Wayne Taylor Racing back in the game. I mean, I remember 2 years ago when they won this race with their Cadillac then, of course now in the Acura. Ryan Briscoe ran through the red light with about 4 hours to go, having been in such a strong position, but they fought back and they still won the race. Now, GTD Pro drivers now into pit lane. Shay Adam.
I'm standing down waiting for the Lexus to come in, but I don't think the 14, no, it's not going to pit. Going to stay out and regain the lap it lost by doing the improper pass around. We do have the Aston Martin into the pit lane remaining for Heart of Racing. That is the 27. Fuel and tires going on there, and there was a driver change. I did not see who got in. I would imagine it's time for Roman DeAngelis to get back in, though, to that car. The service is done, and the car is down and away.
Okay, oh, it's a big slippy, slidey burnout for the number 62. Risi Ferrari gets going again. And now the Pfaff Motorsport number 9 Porsche gets going as well. Likewise, the 15 WeatherTech car. Shay, what has happened to the 3 Corvette?
Not good news. The engine cover is off. They have changed the 4 Michelin tires. They left the right rear off while they investigate, but they're in the engine compartment of this car, very similar. I'm having a bit of deja vu from when the 4 Corvette came in a bit earlier on. We've also got the 25 BMW into the pits as well. This is the red one. There are 4 mechanics working around the back of this car as well. I wonder if there was some contact between people as they were Constantina up to try and get into the pit lane. I did hear a little bit of contact, but I thought that was between 2 GTD Mercedes.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. So, this is something we're not used to seeing. We might sometimes might see one Corvette hitting issues, but very rarely. Very rarely do we see 2. They're such reliable cars. They're such a polished crew. Really, the gold standard in sports car racing. This Corvette racing crew have been competing here in top-level American sports car racing since the late 1990s. In fact, their first race as Corvette Racing was back in 1999. With Ron Fellows, Chris Neifel, and a certain John Paul Jr., the late, great John Paul Jr. Of course, we saw the JLP 935 here displayed before the race. I still yet to get a copy of John Paul Jr.'s book, Jeremy. Have you read it?
No, I haven't.
I've heard it's very good.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah. So, the process of the yellow... full course yellow continues, and good news for Corvette fans, the number 3 is back on the way. So back on the move, number 3 Corvette Racing GTD Pro is back moving again.
But I think it is now a lap down to the other contenders.
Now, question, Jeremy, do you think that what has been learned by the problems that have hit the number 4, the team car, the number 4 Corvette, do you think they've maybe spotted something that they can maybe preemptively change on the 3 car to avoid it happening again?
Yeah.
Oh, Shay Adam has something on that. Shay, down to you.
It's the alternator. They are going out of the pits to go back to the garage. That will be the 3 car back in the garage for a little while.
Thank you, Shay. Thanks for getting that so quickly. So there you have it then, an alternator issue for the number 3 Corvette. So we expect them to come back into pit lane for more work. Jeremy, it was looking so promising for Corvette. It's been looking promising from the green flag. Up till now, it's been a difficult preparation time in terms of pace for the Corvette outfit. But
arguable.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I take that point. But since the green flags has come out, they've been really quick.
Yeah.
But this is not good news for them.
No, that's greatly disappointing for them, for sure. There's in some ways more complexity on the GTD version of the Corvette C8R, certainly in terms of what they've been used to running, at least over the last few years. But I'm sure they wouldn't have expected to encounter these sort of difficulties before halfway through the race now, with both cars in the pits, and the number 4 car is still in the garage area, and the number 3 car is certainly going to lose, one presumes, several laps at best.
So the problems for the number 3 car. Shay, you're more takers for service here.
All these cars who were trying to get their lap back, including that number 10 Konica Minolta Acura, that was fuel only, I think. I'm walking down to find out from the crew, actually, just what the service was. But we have both of the WeatherTech racing cars in. Porsche is getting fuel and tires. The Mercedes, which is car number 97, the Porsche is 79. Mercedes is fuel only, so no additional tires going on that car at the moment, which means that, well, at least initially, the Mercedes should have the advantage over the Porsche. Mercedes is cleared to leave. The Porsche is still in its pit box, and it's slightly hampered the exit of Daniel Jungdella, but he manages to get going, and the train of cars is just now moving at the pit exit, so really no harm, no foul.
So unfortunately, and bad news for Corvette Racing fans, the number 3 yellow Corvette has now gone back behind the wall, with Antonio Garcia taking it in there. Now, just looking to see, is the and the four car also there behind the wall. So the Corvette Racing Garage is going to be very, very busy at the moment with that crew, the Pratt & Miller run crew, working hard. Jeremy?
In LMP2, there were four cars that got the wave around that time. Number 52, number 29, and the number 11 all came onto pit lane just now. The number 20 car, I don't think, did, but it's back on the lead lap as well. So we've now got the number 69 car leading from the number 8 car, and now back on the lead lap also are number 20, 29, 52 and 11. So that's going to be quite a contest here. It's got six cars in LMP2 back on the lead lap.
Now Shea Adam is down with someone who made up one of my favourite sports car racing combinations alongside Colin McRae and Rickard Rydell in a Ferrari. He's driving an Aston Martin today, as he always does. Shea is down with Darren Turner.
Darren, it's a little bit chaotic out there. Talk about dealing with the traffic and the dropping conditions.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's chaotic, but it's the tyre temps that are making it really difficult for everyone, especially on the outlaps. Normally you'd think the tyres would come in like two laps and then you can get going, but with this temperature that we're seeing this weekend, it's more like four or five laps, and the outlap is a bit crazy to be, you know, there's so many little moments out there on that first couple of laps. But yeah, it's a normal Daytona, just a few more cars out there and the normal carnage that you get in the night. So yeah, a lot of fun, some frustrations, but the Aston Martin's going really well. Really pleased with how the pit stops are working out with the Heart of Racing team, and now the boss man Ian James is in the car, so let's see what he can do over the next couple of hours.
Is it a bit like driving a snowmobile out there, that you turn the steering wheel and nothing happens and you just keep under steering straight on?
I don't know, I've never been on a snowmobile, but I guess I need to put that on my little list of things to do in the future. But it's a bit like a shopping trolley, you know, it's even moving around on when you get onto the banking for the first time, the car is shuddering left and right, which is a really unnatural feeling, because it feels like something's broken. But by the time you've done a lap, that bit goes away, but you just get the chatter from the cold tires for the first couple of laps.
Well, we'll have to get you out to Utah and fix that whole not snowmobiling thing. But the saying is two hearts are better than one. Only one car left running for the Heart of Racing, but I see no lack of crew in here. Has everybody doubled up the effort to get the 27 to the checker?
Yeah, I mean, it was a real shame for the 23 car to go out so early. Ross did a great job in the first stint, and Alex was going strong in the second stint. And just wrong place, wrong time, and then to be collected, I think, by an LMP3 when he was sort of spun round. So, yeah, really devastating blow for the team early in the race. But now, yeah, you're right. You know, there's a lot of personnel here. Everyone's on side to try and make sure we get the 27 to a good result. And I think we're sort of running in the top eight constantly. So if we can sort of stay there through the night, see what it's like in the morning, and yeah, then I'm sure the fun will really start.
Good luck and get warmed up.
Thanks very much. Thanks.
Thank you, Shea. That's Darren Turner there for the number 27 Heart of Racing Aston Martin. I would put my mortgage on the fact that Sarah Rigby will be watching, cheering that crew on. So hello to you, Sarah, if you are. Mark Whiteleg has sent us a tweet in on at Specutainment. Shout out to Ben Barnicote, who of course is driving the Pro Class GTD Pro Lexus RCF number 14. And he says, big up North Derbyshire, back to green flag racing here at Daytona. And Alex Lynn leads the way down into turn one, but it's a very, very tight squeeze. They almost touch. Tom Vlonquist looking to go around the outside there, but Lynn says, not on your life. That was so, so tight there between the Cadillac and the Acura as they head around the International Horseshoe and then back on the power. The field completely bunched up here, well, almost a few stragglers at the back, but they will soon catch up as Alex Lynn keeping those tyres in to their operating window, and Ricky Taylor in at the number 10 Acura, now back on the lead lap, Jeremy.
Yes, indeed. With that late pit stop there for the number 31 Cadillac, that came in for a splash. And maybe to check that all was okay with the brakes there, just before we went back to green, that wasn't able to get up to position with the other prototype cars. So he's about half a minute behind at the moment. That's Pipo Derani. But all the seven cars back on the lead lap in DPI.
I think that's going to rumble on all the way to the flag. Now, if it doesn't rain, it pours. Poor old number 54, Core Auto Sport. in LMP3, of course, had a little bit of an issue earlier on with John Bennett at the wheel. They actually are classified as in the lead at the moment in LMP3, but they've been given a drive-through penalty for a pit lane speed violation. Also, penalties for running the light at pit exit. Now, this is serious, Jeremy. Carf, and this means a lot in GTD. Our leader in GTD, the Windward Mercedes number 57, stop plus 60 seconds. Yeah. Second place in GTD, the number 16 right Porsche, stop plus 60 seconds. Game changer in that class.
Yeah, that's certainly a big blow for them. 60 seconds plus a stop. It takes about 40 seconds to drive down the pit lane, plus that 60 seconds. You could just about do that without losing a lap, but it's very, very close.
Yeah, absolutely. That's going to be very tight for those cars. Well, that what that would mean is, after all that, the number 32 Mercedes would move up into the lead. And Michael Dinan in the 96 Turner Motorsport BMW, they have really had a rotten week and run up to this race, really struggling with the new car, and all of a sudden Turner Motorsport, that just shows you what a quality outfit they are, Jeremy. They are right in the fight in GTD.
Yeah.
Will that Turner, of course, true. Team owner, he'll be very, very happy with that one. With the not running in the traditional Turner colours, the yellow and blue, running in the white, blue and red of Liquid Moly as the DPIs charge round the speedway down to the start finish line. And gee whiz, Alex Lynn in the 0-2, he has checked out. He says, "See you later, chaps, I'm off." And he's being chased down now by the two Acuras. So maybe, Jeremy, after a little bit of time behind the safety car, that's enough to get the Acuras to the point where they're quick, rather than starting from a complete cold start from the pits.
That's a great restart that by Ricky Taylor. Mm. He crossed the line in sixth position at the end. At the restart, he's now up into third place in at number 10 Acura for the Konica Minolta Racing Team. So he has absolutely charged on that outlap and is now placed right behind Tom Blomqvist. He knows what these Acuras look like. Ricky Taylor has been driving them for 3 years now, so and he also knows how fast they are. He's got Tom Blomqvist ahead of him, and then just ahead of him, Alex Lynn. So two debutants here under Rolex 24 lead this race, Alex Lynn and Tom Blomqvist. Ricky Taylor is lurking there in third place.
He is not a debutant.
No, he's not indeed, as a two-time winner of this race.
Fantastic stuff. Well, of course, Jeremy, you were having a chat with team owner Wayne Taylor about his very exciting upcoming program with Acura, of course, with Cadillac for so long, with General Motors for so long. It was, I think, a surprise to a few when he paired up with Acura. But what he's got ahead of him in LMDH, very exciting indeed.
Yeah, very exciting indeed. And that he was telling me that they're going to start doing some dyno rig testing in April, I think, and then the first track test for that new car to come on stream next year will take place in mid-June, and then there's going to be an extensive test program to get ready for the 2023 season.
Super stuff, and could not happen to a nicer bunch of folks. I remember meeting Krista Riley a couple of years ago here at the race, and he gave us a very good welcome there at that outfit, and they have just got such a good record at this race in particular, and proved that they can do it with different manufacturers as well. They've won it with Cadillac, and of course winning it last year with the Acura DPI as well. But Alex Lynn, 134.5 on the last lap around, 0.6 seconds quicker than the number 60 Marshank Racing Acura of Tom Blomqvist, with Ricky Taylor in hot pursuit right in the draft. So after, despite that two lap loss for Wayne Taylor Racing after that puncture with Will Stevens on board, they've just kept their cool and slowly worked their way back up into contention.
LMP2 meanwhile, also a charge there. It's Dylan Murray who is at the wheel currently of the Racing Team Netherlands Jumbo, car number 29. He took the restart in fourth position. He's now leading, and he's passed Lucas Giotto, who's got a huge amount of experience in primarily in open wheel cars in Europe. Very talented young Italian. Scott Huffaker is running in third position in number 52, the PR1 Matheson Motorsports entry. Behind him is Dennis Anderson in the high-class racing entry as well. Then John Ferrano, who's running in fifth position in car number eight, and closing down on them, having made that pit stop late in the sequence after getting back on the lead lap in LMP2, is car number 11, the second of the PR1 Matheson cars, Harry Ticknell at the wheel there.
Sebastian Prio leads in LMP3 in the number 33 machine, so fighting back quickly after those after incurring a penalty not all that long ago. He's recovered so fast.
And now, as I was talking about that, the lead in LMP has changed again. Lucas Giotto now ahead of Dylan Murray by 0.051 as they came through around the tri-oval to complete their 268th lap.
It's tight at the front. It's also tight at the front in GTD Pro. Lawrence Vantor leads for KCMG Porsche in the blue, white and black machine. So in that pit cycle, have got past the Rizzi Competizione Ferrari and lead now by 5.1 seconds. So Lawrence is in his Lawrence is in excitable mood when he switches on that extra gear. My goodness me, is he a special driver. And he's opening up a gap to the Rizzi Competizione Ferrari at the moment. Of course, Lawrence, the reigning GTD champion, won it with Zachary Robichon in the Pfaff Motorsport team last year, and of course, winner of the GTLM Championship back in 2019 as well, in the factory Porsche team in the last year of the RSR 17, that high-pitched screeching machine. But coming back to LMP3, Sebastian Prio leads by 4.2 seconds from Michael Cooper, the 33 Sean Creech Motorsport machine. And he's got a quite experienced teammate, Jeremy, and a certain Joao Barbosa, four-time winner of this event.
Yeah, that's right. There's plenty of talent in this race, that's for sure. So Lucas Giotto leads by about a tenth of a second on that last lap in the number 69 car for G-Drive Racing, ahead of Dylan Murray, the youngster making his debut in the LMP2 category. He drove here in LMP3 last year. Talking of LMP3, Seb Prio is now leading that class. Since the restart, he's managed to he'd take the lead after the number 54 car came onto the pit lane. So that has just taken another pit stop. John Bennett still at the wheel of car number 54 for Core Autosport. Seb Prio into the lead for Sean Creech Motorsports in that number 33 car, ahead of Michael Cooper in number 74 Riley Motorsports entry by about 5 seconds.
So the battle rages on for the lead in GTD. Scott Andrews in the number 32 Mercedes, holding off
second.
The number 70 of Jordan Pepper. That's a Gilbert Korthoff Motorsport outfit that lead in GTD. It's been a busy news week for that outfit. They've had changes in driver lineup, but at the moment they lead with Jordan Pepper, the two handicap golfer. That was quite a revelation when we spoke to Jules Gounon earlier on. Of course, Jordan, a former Bentley factory driver, so a former Bentley boy.
Did you see it also today that the M Sport guys are putting together an LMP2 program?
That did raise my eyebrows when I read that. I thought, wow, okay. Just shows you that sports car racing is definitely in vogue at the moment as well. I mean, that was a wonderful program, M Sport. Of course, the team that run the Fords
Ford
in the World Rally
yeah.
Championship, and of course winners of the Monte Carlo Rally last weekend with a certain Sebastian Loeb. Jeremy?
Yeah, no, there was an onboard shot there with the McLaren of Jordan Pepper closing rapidly onto the tail of the Mercedes of Scott Andrews. That is, as you just talking about, the lead, battle for the lead in GTD. A little bit further back, Ryan Hardwick, he's a lap down under pressure here from in the number 16 Wright Motorsports car. Not sure which car is behind
him. It's a Porsche.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Trying to pick out
which I think it's probably not on, on the lead
lap.
Faf car.
Yeah, okay, fine. Which is running
turn
third.
One incident.
Oh, okay, so we have an incident down at turn one. I think it's the Turner BMW, if my eyes don't deceive me. So there's
it's the Liqui Moly car, yeah.
That it's been quite a significant incident that has hit the pit, well, hit the barrier going over the start finish line, and straight away we have a yellow flag, local yellow flag for now. I would be very surprised if this isn't a full course yellow, but
Peter, it's been such a big incident that the screen tear offs are flapping in the breeze of the Liqui Moly 96 car. It's a spin turn. That car's not damaged, but it's gone sideways for a very, very long time. And fair play. Oh, have we just gone yellow? Ah, oh, yeah, we better. Had, just as it pulled away. I was just about to say, well done to race control.
Yeah, that's a dodgy place to be sitting right there.
But there's a lot of debris that I think will need to be cleared up. Just
well, is there another car involved there?
Start-finish
well,
line.
He was dicing with Ian James. The pair... we're pretty much together as they came across the race line. They were separated by only 0.2 of a second with Ian James just ahead of Michael Dunn. I don't know whether any other cars were in that mix as well, because I didn't notice it offhand. But to this end is our seventh full course caution.
So we'll for those who are watching on IMSA TV, I'm sure we'll get a look, I'm sure, at some point. But a little bit of debris to be cleared up at the tri-oval area, about 100 metres from the start-finish line, and the field come through. Need to be careful not to pick up any shards of debris. Watch for those punctures. We've seen a few of them so far.
It's fewer than 15 minutes since the last yellow, so it'll be a short one.
Yeah, in which case the pits will not be open.
Correct.
For the usual pit stop sequences. Meanwhile, just the number 10 car, Ricky Taylor, he'd continued that charge because a couple of laps ago, kind of while that was unfolding, he'd managed to sneak past Tom Blomqvist. So that number 10 car, looking for the fourth win in a row for that organisation, two different cars, is in second place now. Alex Lynn leads then for the number 02 car for Cadillac Racing of Chip Ganassi. In second place, Ricky Taylor for... Konica Minolta and Wayne Taylor. Tom Blomqvist now down to third position, car number 60. Then there's number 5, the number 01, and the number 48 having a good battle amongst themselves. And this caution certainly is good news for Pipo Durrani, who's out of sequence with the others, having made that late pit stop at the last caution period. So this will enable him to haul up onto the tail of those other contenders in DPI.
That car's gone straight behind the wall, according to Shea Adam. Just a couple of bits of housekeeping whilst we are in this full course yellow. The damage on the number 4 Corvette, we mentioned how serious that was earlier on. That car...
Still behind the wall.
Still behind the wall. Bent and... It was the starter motor that was cracked. So that had been a serious shunt from behind to cause all that damage. We saw the exhaust being taken off. The goal is to get that car back out and to try and help the three in some way, shape or form. From Gradient, Till Bechtelsheimer, P6 in GTD. And if he had managed to get his full stint in at this point, he would have completed his drive time. That might have to change. We talked in the countdown, the Michelin countdown to green, and our Porsche keys to the race about being flexible on your strategy. And with 15 hours, a minute and 30 seconds to go, there's still plenty of time to change things around. I want to say hi to Nick Trott, who's suffering from COVID, and he is listening in.
Is that Nick Trott, formerly of Evo Magazine and Motorsport Magazine? Nick
yes,
Trott?
Indeed. Uh-huh. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. It's well known that IMSA Racing can cure anything.
Very true.
Yeah.
Very true.
That statement may not have been cleared by any major medical organisation, but we're claiming it anyway. I think it's fair to say. And also, happy birthday as well to a doyen of... motorsport in the UK, And that would be Sam Hignett, who is with a number of friends staying up late to watch this tonight. I can only imagine what kind of state you're all in at the moment. At what time is it in the morning? I don't even want to know. In the
20 to 4. Oh dear.
Yeah, well, they were still up not very long ago when that came in to at IMSA Radio. So 15 hours still to go. It's IMSA Radio live from the Daytona International Speedway on RS2 on the Sirius XM network on channel 202 and on IMSA.TV, and we've got sound and vision linked together in perfect synchronicity. For those of you in territories that don't have network TV coverage, the UK, most of Europe, and also to Sky in New Zealand as well, if you're watching us there, welcome along to this fantastic race so far with Jeremy Shaw, Peter Mackay and John Hindorf in the Haggerty Global broadcast booth, and Shea Adam down in the pit lane, and another hour of racing, well, behind the safety car at the moment, starts right now.